I had a great joke about fear, but now I'm too afraid to tell it. I have a fear of elevators, but I'm taking steps to avoid it. I want to know what the fear of question marks is called, but I'm afraid to ask. I asked my friend, why did he become a pilot? These just keep going, sorry. I asked my friend, why did he become a pilot? He said, to conquer my greatest fear. The fear of flying, I asked? No, he said, the fear of dying alone. That one's pretty dark. I really appreciate Mr. Scott Thomas's comments inside of the prayer there, because it was a crazy week. I actually had an idea of what I wanted to speak on this week, and then, you know, there's some unfortunate reminders this week. First of all, it was the 24th anniversary of September 11th. Then Wednesday came around when a young man was assassinated. It was distressing to learn of this. I actually didn't know right away. I went outside, and my brother Andrew told me what had happened. Andrew actually tells me a lot of bad news. It's not that our interactions are bad. It's just when there is bad news, for some reason, he's the one to give it to me. It's so deeply sad. He was roughly my age. He's actually younger. And he was courageous enough to step into different areas and exchange ideas with folks who often did not agree with him. So I likely gave a message of this, a version of this message in the past, but today I do want to focus and talk a little bit about fear. And what I just mentioned, Charlie Kirk, he was much more courageous than what I'm even doing now. I mean, hopefully, on some level, and some of the most important things in life, we agree, right? I don't have you guys coming up here and shouting at me. This is not necessarily a courageous thing to do, aside from public speaking, which I can always do without. But fear is a part of life. And there are many rational fears. I just mentioned one, like public speaking. People don't want to do that, right? But when our fear is properly aligned, we turn from paralysis to boldness. I just mentioned my brother Andrew. He gave a great message on being bold not that long ago. We may be scared or nervous to take things on, but our outlook can change. Let's talk about that. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. We're going to be reading verses 25 and 26. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And certainly we know that's David speaking of Goliath. Rachel and I, weeks ago, maybe even a month ago now or so, we watched a series on Amazon Prime called House of David. Some of you might be familiar with that. It's not 100% accurate. Obviously, they take some liberties. But we do kind of story time the tale of David and Goliath. We kind of make it childish. And it's really not childish, but it's often given to children, it's taught to children. I think we take that and we grow up with it and we think of it as a children's story sometimes. And it was really nice and interesting to see it portrayed in a serious setting with Goliath actually looking really scary and the scenes being very intense. And then this normal, smaller guy, David, says these things so boldly. And you could tell he's so charged up. Who is this guy? How are you guys standing here paralyzed by fear? Who is this guy? Seriously. So that's really the first point. Who or what do you ultimately fear? I guess the key phrase there is ultimately. Who or what do you ultimately fear? I don't like flying. We're really not supposed to be up there. Logically, if you think about it, we're supposed to be down here on Earth. I never really have liked flying. I probably never will. We all have our different things. And what I don't love, when you open up about a fear and people say, well, how could you be afraid of that? When it's almost pretty logical, right? Because I'm sure folks have different fears that I would find silly. But fears can be managed with proper perspective. And our ultimate fear has to be God. Not doing his work, not standing for him, should terrify us. Everything else under the sun are things that we can take on then. And other things can be scary. I'm not saying we can go throughout life without any fear at all. There is fear. And sometimes, unfortunately, two fears are pitted against each other, and we have to choose which path to take. You know, for instance, do I fear speaking boldly and effectively for God when I have the chance? Or do I fear losing my job? Do I fear resentment from peers, coworkers, or general society, or standing for the truth? Do I fear saving my own life versus bending for the truth? Turn with me to Matthew 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, verse 28. The words of Jesus Christ, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I admire Charlie Kirk for going to places and taking on challengers. I'm sure he and I don't 100% align on everything, but for the most part, family values, morals, I appreciate people like him and others that stand against evil. And unfortunately, politics and morals have merged. We can't sit here and be naive to that fact. And if we can't say boldly what is wrong, then who do we actually fear? Men and women shouldn't have multiple sexual partners, right? Having a family is good. We shouldn't kill babies. Boys are boys, girls are girls. If we get in trouble for statements like that, then so be it. That's the consequences of this earth. We are to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but when society mocks the standards of God, who are we to cower? To hide our opinions based on biblical truth? We need to fear the consequences of God, not from men. And what can men do to us? Yes, they can take our jobs away. Yes, they can take money from us. Yes, they can slander us. They can hurt us. They can even kill us. But what does Jesus say? Don't ultimately fear that. Point number two, fear dominates actions. Fear dominates actions. We serve it, whether through the proper perspective or not. People that assassinate others are fearful. They're fearful of the person's power, influence, and ideas. Evil fears good. Consider the accounts of demons trembling, calling out. They knew who Jesus was. I'll just reference James 2, verse 19, saying, if you believe in God, that's great. Even the demons believe and tremble. Fear of evil cannot paralyze us. And I know sometimes when I get afraid, even I recently had to take a flight, and they said, boarding zone 5, and I just stood there. I was like, I don't want to get on that plane. I don't want to do that. It freezes you when you see something fearful. You see a bear in the woods. At first, you freeze. But God needs to be the ultimate fear. But when God is the ultimate fear, our actions are dominated, but in a good way, in the right way. We're compelled to be bold. Just like David, he was compelled to say, Who is this guy? I'm going to fight this guy. I'm sure he was scared. We feel obligated to fill the darkness with light when the ultimate fear is God, because we feel like this. They can't blaspheme the ultimate power of our universe. We feel obligated to do things like stop in the corner to help, to speak to the stranger, to dive in and help where needed, even to someone who was an enemy of our faith. And we aren't ashamed to say why we're doing these things. Who knows the show, What Would You Do? I think it was, NBC, CBS, where they set up fake scenarios and they see if the general public kind of jumps in. They had one, I think over a decade ago, where a veteran can't pay for his groceries. You might have even seen this. They ran the scenario several times. And then there's this one time where there's an elderly woman behind him, and she notices and jumps in right away because he can't pay for his groceries, and she just says, just take my money, we'll figure it out. And then she gets asked by the man, why would you do this? And immediately, her answer was, I have the love of God in me. And then she said, God is good. She didn't know she was being filmed. That's boldness. She could have just said, normal answers, oh, because you're a person and you need food. That's fine, but can we go a step beyond and glorify God in doing a good work like she did? I did this because I have the love of God in me. And that leads me to point three. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And I know that's a scripture. I think it's 1 John. 1 John, let's head there. It's 1 John something. 1 John 4, verse 18. I apologize, I didn't even write it down. The whole point's about the verse. 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I've been meditating on this a lot because I think we were in Rome last week and the message brought us to 1 John, and I was on this passage here. Perfect love casts out fear. I invite you, just take that with you wherever you go during a day. That's just an interesting, it's an amazing concept. And it sounds a little funny because we love God with all our hearts, but we also fear him. But this is different fear. This is carnal fear that you and I face day to day. Love is an answer to fear. Not necessarily fighting or killing or other carnal activities. Love is an answer to fear. Here's one example I thought of how this verse is kind of conceptually laid out. Maybe at school you heard of a class and you were scared to take it, right? Or you're scared of the teacher. And then you're fearful of taking that class. And over time, you're like, okay, I like this. By the end of the year, you love it. You love the teacher. You love everything about it. And that fear was cast out. So how do we approach this in our lives? There are so many little opportunities, week in, week out, day in, day out, to both be bold for God and to show his love. Kind of like that lady I mentioned at the cash register. She was bold. She didn't fear what the consequences of saying, I did this because God loves me and he's in my heart. My wife has done a great job at this. She plays Ultimate Frisbee for a club team, for a women's club team. And unfortunately, there's a lot of worldly beliefs in those circles. I told her I would be kind. Over the years, she's been an example of being bold and loving, to where some of those women who they might have feared a traditional, church-going, conservative-type woman, right? But then they look at Rachel and say, well, we love her, so should we be afraid of that? She's not scary. We can't lose our love and let the fear of awful ideology run our lives. And people that unfortunately carry these things too. We can't hate them, we can't attack them, but we can be bold and we can show love. We need to shine light on them. I was recently challenged at work, and I'm closing out here. I was recently challenged at work to do a little speech at a conference, and I didn't want to. I don't love speaking in front of people. I tried to get out of it, and my boss, he just kind of quickly to the side said, "Do that which scares you." And this week, I challenge us all to do the same. Let us pray, and we need to pray for these things. Pray that you're aware for the opportunity to be bold. And pray that our hearts are aligned to properly fear God and to approach opportunity with boldness and the love of God.